Morning, everyone. Woo! Yeah! Yeah! Come on, come on, come on, come on! Hey, you made it to church. You made it, right? A reason to celebrate. All right. Can you guys do me a favor? Corelli, Victor, Manuel, can you guys move this way? Nobody has the cooties over here. Come on. And move forward, come on, let's be a family, come on, come on, let's move forward. Come on, 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 come on. I want you guys close to me. Cause I like stuff like that. Right? All right, all right. Nobody has the cooties, everybody took a shower. Right? They're thinking about it, right? All right, all right, all right, all right. Buenos dias. Thank you guys for being here today. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. You guys are important in my life, believe it or not. You guys are amazing. Thank you for doing life with me. Right?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I hope you guys feel the same way. If not, it's okay. Okay. I need to get my pages here. Number, okay, all right, here we go. Buenos dias a todos. Thank you for being with us. Welcome to East Lake Church Playas. Today, we are closing out this series, The Best Year Ever. Come on. It hasn't started so well so far, right? What? Resolutions are already out the door, right? Yeah? No, we're finishing off our series, Best Year Ever, where we talked about how to have the best year ever spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. And today we're going to share with you about how we can have the best year ever relationally. With your friends, with your buddies, with your homies, right? How to have the best year ever with your friends. Here's the big idea. Please grab your pen. It should be on the screen. We can have the best year ever, but we can't have it alone. We can't have it alone. We need to be doing life with people. The right people. We like hanging out with the homies, right? But the right homies. Right? Because doing life together is better than doing life alone. I mean, I don't want to be alone. Even though I'm an introvert, it's better doing life with people. The right people. God has used this community of friends to strengthen my life here in Mexico. And it's been growing through the years, from having no friends when I first got here, when I first got deported, to having you guys, my family. I really consider you guys to be my family, really. Seriously. You have no idea how much you guys have blessed my life, encouraged me. You have no idea what you guys mean to me. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you. I love you.
We love
you. I know that for many of us, being here in Mexico hasn't been easy. Deportation hasn't been easy. Not many families make it through it. I know. I've seen it. I know that many of us are still in the middle of the storm. I know many of us are waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning just to cross to the States to go to work, or maybe even take your kids to school. Waiting in line for hours and hours and hours, sometimes feeling like you're alone with no friends, and the ones that you have, you don't want to let them in, because what you start thinking, what are they going to think? What are they going to think about my situation? What are they going to think about me being deported? Are they going to think I'm a criminal? So we don't let them in. We worry about being judged. And it can be with any situation, not just deportation. Maybe problems with your marriage. The struggles in life that we don't let people in because what are they going to think? They're going to judge me. What are they going to think about my situation? So we don't let people in because we're afraid that they're going to judge us. Wherever we are, whatever season we are, we can have the best year ever, but we can't have it alone. We can't have it alone. The unexpected will happen in all of our lives. The loss of a loved one, a heartbreak, a physical need, maybe losing your job, problems with your spouse, loss for what your next step in life is. Whatever it is, you will need prayer and support. You will. You will need relationships. I've met a couple of you that have been here for longer than I have and didn't have any friends. Sad. It hurts. Right? To be alone, feeling like you're alone. Because you're afraid that you're gonna be criticized or judged. You may be in the storm right now. Or maybe you just got out of one, or maybe it's the calm before the storm. One thing we know for sure, that anyone who has lived any life at all, we know that the storms are going to come. So before they happen, we need to surround ourselves with a good team. So when the unexpected happens, we can be more than survivors. We can be conquerors. I want you guys to be conquerors. I don't want you guys to be knocked down by any situation that happens in your life and give up and quit and, you know, do some other stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing. I want us to survive, to overcome the situations in our life. So today we're going to be talking about why we need community. What community looks like and how to find community. How to find a family. In God's word, we see that it was God's great desire that we would not do life alone. God created the whole world by the power of his word. He created everything, all the birds that are existing, you know, the dogs, the cats, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, the trees, everything that we see. He created it with the power of his word, and he saw everything, and he saw that it was good. Hey, that's good. Yeah. Hey, that's good. Awesome. You know, when it's nighttime and the sun's going down and you look up and the stars, so amazing, beautiful, right? God created it. And he said it was good. It was very good. But it wasn't until he created Adam that he said something different. In Genesis 2:18 should be here. He says, God said it's not good for what? I will make him a helper, a companion. So this is the first time where we read God is saying something is not good. And what was happening there is that sin had not entered the world yet. We're still verses away from the slithering snake tempting Eve to eat of the fruit. So even before sin and darkness was in the world, God had already saw something that was not good. Man being alone. That's when Eve enters the picture. So this is how much God values companionship. This is how much God values community and intimate relationship. When God was creating his best world ever, when God was creating his best human ever, when God was hand-making the best way for creation to thrive, for life to exist, to the most optimal way that God could imagine, even before brokenness came into the world, he said, it won't be good. This won't be best if humans are alone. Has anybody ever felt alone? Raise your hand. I know every single one of you. It sucks. Right? It sucks. Why do we need relationships? Here's your next fill-in. Alone, we will not grow to our full potential. And we will not fulfill God's full purpose for our lives. Tell your neighbor you can't do it alone. Again. In Luke 5, we see an example of what a great team looks like. So we're going to be reading Luke 5, 17 to 25. Are you guys ready to hear the story? I know many of you have probably read this story millions and millions and millions of times because you guys read every day. So. Right? Yeah, you probably heard the story. Here we go. Luke 5, 17 to 25 says this. You guys ready? Okay. One day, Jesus was teaching in a house, and the healing power of the Lord was with him. Pharisees and the religious scholars were sitting and listening, having come from villages all across the region of Galilee and Judea and from the holy city of... Some men came to the house carrying a paralyzed man on his bed pallet. They wanted to bring him in and present him to... But the house was so packed with people that they couldn't get him in. So they climbed up on the roof and pulled off some roof tiles. They lowered the man by ropes so he can rest right in front of Jesus. This is awesome. Right here, look. In this way, their faith was visible to Jesus. What made it visible? The action. That's what made the faith visible. So Jesus says to the man on the pallet, "My friend, all your sins are forgiven." So if I were these friends, I'm going to stop right there. If I were these friends, I'd be, "Hey, that's cool, right? His sins are forgiven. Cool. Sounded like he said, hey, the sins are forgiven. That's cool. But what is he going to do about his feet? Hey, can you do something about it? He can't walk. Right? Sometimes we come to Jesus with what we want. And he gives us what we need. The story continues. Right? The Pharisees and the religious scholars were offended at this. They turned to one another and asked the question, Pharisees and religious scholars, "Who does he think he is? Wasn't that blasphemous? Who can pronounce a person's sins are forgiven? Who but God alone?" There are three kinds of people in this story. And I want you to start thinking which one you are. Here we go. The first one, the amazing good friends that ripped open the roofs to get their friends to Jesus. Maybe they, I don't know, maybe they're lowering them in a drop. And they're like, "Hey, you guys ready? Here we go." Nothing could happen. He was paralyzed already, right? So, hey, but they did everything to get him to Jesus. So that's the first kind of people right there. The second kind is the guy on the mat who needs Jesus. And the third one are the haters. There's always going to be haters, right? There's always going to be haters. Which one are you? The good friend? the guy in the mat? Are you a hater? Are you a Raider fan? You're probably a hater. It's in your DNA. But these men weren't necessarily hating the man's forgiveness or healing. They were hating the conditions that didn't go along with their religion. He doesn't fit with what we believe. It shouldn't be like this, even though he's forgiven. That doesn't fit with my religion. Who does he think he is? That's blasphemous. And I know some of us have been deeply wounded by the people who we've surrounded ourselves with. Some of them don't believe what you believe. I've been teased for being a Christian many times. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, y cada quien con la suya. Yeah, they've been teased many times. Oh, you're a Christian now? You're a holy roller? Many times it doesn't have to do with us in our lives. It has to do with the fact that they don't believe what you believe. Sometimes they're just hurt because what they believe isn't working for them. The things they thought was going to bring them happiness, like the sex, the drugs, the dating, the porn, the cheating, the lying, the money, the this and the that, what they thought was going to be bringing them happiness, the normal stuff that people believe in was not working for them, so they're hating when they see you happy. Right? Hurt people. I think Jesus is trying to call me. Hello? People? Hello? Hurt people. Let me say it again. Hurt people. So you're dating and the person is damaged or hurt or baggage or whatever. They don't expect someone perfect. Hurt people. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3.
Hurt people.
My wife doesn't like this saying, but I'm going to say it. It is what it is. Hurt people. And maybe you're the one that's hurt, and you're the one also hurting people. So don't be like, oh, yeah, I know. This brings us to this. The people that you surround yourself with can bring you closer or further from Jesus. Who do you have around you? Are they leading you to Jesus? I mean, we need people. We need people like these friends who led him to Jesus. We need people like these friends who are believing for us when we're not believing for us. We need people like this, friends, who when the storm comes, because they will come, they're right there with you in the middle of the storm. Right? We need people like this, friends, so when you're down and out, they come and pick you up and tell you, I got you. Don't trip, homie. I got you. Don't trip, potato chip. I got you. We need people like these, friends, who when you don't feel loved, they come to you and tell you, hey, I love you. Sometimes those words just like give you a burst of energy, right? Bam. You want to get up? Hey, I'm thinking about you. Hey, I'm praying for you. Love you. We need to separate ourselves from the people who are against us. The people who are against our healing. The people that are against our growth. We need to separate from them. We won't have the best year ever with the wrong friends. But you can have the best year ever with the right friends. Let's continue with the story. Jesus responding to his own question, he says, why are your hearts full of questions? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? Just so you'll know that the Son of Man is fully authorized to forgive sins on earth. He turned to the paralyzed fellow lying on the pallet and said, I say, get up, take your mat, and what? And go home. Verse 25. Then, right in front of their eyes, the man stood up, picked up his bed, and left to go home. Full of praises for God, everyone was stunned. They couldn't help but feel awestruck, and they praised God too. People, we've seen extraordinary things today. We see that they brought their friend for a physical need, right? And Jesus gives them even more than what they came for. That's the kind of God he is. But he also provided for his physical need. And I see this a lot in our church. When families are going through situations and they need a physical need, I see this happen over and over again, where our church family is right there for each other. And I love it. I love it. But the people from our church family, can't forgive our sins or heal our situations. Only Jesus can do that. But community is what will put us on the mat and take us to Jesus. Good intentional relationships are what breaks open roofs to bring you closer to someone that can supply all your needs. So how do we do this? Here's your next fill-in. How to have great community. Be available. Be available to people. Be willing to get out of your comfort zone. Be available even if they're Raider fans. It's okay. I know sometimes they don't take a shower and, you know. They need Jesus more than anybody. Be available. Here's the next one. Be intentional. Be creative. Be active. You want to go on a trip? Your friends, maybe plan one. Invite people. You might need to host a Super Bowl party. More times than not, people want to be invited. Be an inviter. Be intentional. For many of us, God is not asking us to rip apart tiles. He's probably just asking us to take that one person to some tacos. He might be asking, he might not be asking you to do crazy stuff that you might think, oh, I want to. Maybe he's just asking you to open a growth group. If we want to find community, we have to be available. We have to be intentional. So some of us aren't the friends, right? Some of us are not the haters. Some of us are the man in the mat. Some of us, life has done a number on us. Como dicen, chicoteados, estamos chicoteados. La vida los ha chicoteado. And we can at times be fine without walking on our full potential. Hey, we're good. We can be fine with our mediocre life. I'm good. It's all good. Yeah. Yeah, how's everything? Oh, I'm good. I'm good, my mediocre life. Why? Because we've gotten used to the mat. We've gotten used to the same old, same old. And we can't imagine our life off the mat. For many of us, to have our best year ever, we need to be courageous enough to be carried. That's your next fill-in. We have to be courageous enough to be carried. To say, hey, I am not okay. Can you carry me? Don't let your pride stand in the way of your healing. The enemy hopes that we don't let people surround us so we can just stay the way we are. He hopes that we don't carry our friends. He hopes that we see a roadblock and get discouraged. He hopes that we give up. He hopes that, like the Pharisees, we pick apart other people's lives and stand in the way of each other's healing and critiquing other people's restoration. He hopes that you lose your faith. He hopes that you quit. What do you think of that? He hopes that you just give up and cry and quit, leave your marriage, leave everything, move to whatever and just drop everything and maybe believe in Buddha or something. I don't know. He hopes that you return to using drugs. Trying to destroy you. Trying to make you quit. And you will quit. You know, you don't have a good team around you. I mean, I don't need, when I'm going through stuff, I don't need a guy to take, hey, homie, let's go to Hong Kong. No, homie, I'm not going over there. You know, everybody know who Hong Kong is? Not the place, the Hong Kong is, right? They call it la comida china, you know? I'm not going there. I'm married, man. Even if I wasn't, that's not the place for me anymore. I don't need those kind of people in my life. I need the kind of people in my life that can say, hey, hold on. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. And if he did that for you, what do you think? Is that he's going to let you all by yourself now? No. Jesus has a plan to fight the brokenness of the world. And you know what it is? You know what that plan is? The church. Us. Damn, my friend. I feel privileged, right? Doesn't it make you like, dang, wow, I'm important. You guys are important. We are important. Your friendship matters to other people. You calling your friend, you calling your family, you calling whoever needs, hey, encouraging, it's important. You never know. God is probably prompting you to make that phone call, and you make that phone call, and then you hear, hey, I was just thinking about killing myself. Because he was losing the battle with the enemy. Hey, just quit. What are you living for? Nobody cares about you anyway. What are you never going to do anything with your life? So Jesus' plan to fight the brokenness of the world is his church, us. It's his people coming together, doing life together, even when it's messy, fighting the inconvenience, fighting our comfort, being available, being intentional, being courageous, fight for each other. Tell your neighbor, I will fight for you. Ask your neighbor, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? No matter what, you know what? What I want you guys to do is to stand up and go hug somebody that you didn't come with. Go. Don't get weird. This is not dating or trying to find a girlfriend. I don't want any fights. I want to hear any fights and some couples. Hey, why did you hug her or why did you hug him? Because the pastor told me to. We need to fight for each other by being there for each other. Calling each other up. Hey, how's everything? Let's go. Have some lunch or something. That's why we're so passionate about growth groups. Because this is where it all happens. We want something for you. I've seen people go through storms, go through stuff, and make it through because they have a support group, because they attended a growth group. Sometimes when we get the call, the pastor of the church, it's because they're probably not in a group because they have no support. I've seen people go through storms and they don't have anybody, and it sucks. That's what you'll hear around here. Hey, circles are better than rows. Well, what does that mean? Today, you're sitting in rows. But doing life together in circles, that's where you get to see each other's face, right? Hey. And not the back of the head, right? Who's that? In the circles is... you can get to know each other in a deeper level, but it takes a decision. It takes fighting to consistently just say, you know what? I need my friends. I need this group. And because it's like church. You know, when it's a growth group, anything that has to do with growth. Oh, this bed is really... I don't want to go because it's raining, but you go and do other stuff when it's raining. But I don't want to go because it's this and this and that, but you do other stuff when you're feeling sick. I don't like, oh, I'm not going to church because I feel sick. But you go to work on Monday. Those are the things I think of, right? We need to fight. You know, for some of us, like when you get disrespected back in the day, right? And you're like, hey, well. I know some of you. Talking smack about my street. You know, and then their enemies talking smack about your life, about your wife, about your kids. He wants to destroy them. Come on, guys. Oh, I'm not going to the group because I have a headache. Get it. Drink a coffee and it'll take away your headache. Coffee. Right? I mean, the guys are used to it. I have a headache. You know. Not in my house, though. Circles are better than rows. Circles are better than rows. We can have the best year ever, but we can't have it alone. So Jesus calls his church many things, right? And here's one. He calls his church the temple. We're all different parts that come together to build and hold each other up. The church, the temple, is not this building. We are the temple. We are the church. Right? The building is It's just a building. There used to be a pharmacy in here. Right? We are the church. And he calls it the temple. Jesus calls his church the body. And we're all different functions. The nose can't be compared to the eyes. The foot can't be jealous of the hand. We're all one body. Jesus calls his church a family. Our family is where we're from. Our family is where we find our identity. And we're all children of God. Lisa, you're children of God. Child of God. Adam, you're a child of God. Marco, you're a child of God. We're all children of God. Wow. Jesus calls his church the bride, the love of his life. You guys. You're the love of his life. He will fight for his bride. Some years back, me and my wife went to a club. I used to have the moves, you know, back in the day. I know this move used to look cool back in the day and doesn't look too cool now, right? Trying to get some lessons from Miguel, too. But he goes, you need to add some flavor to it. Yeah, but you need to add some flavor to it. So we were hanging out at a club, right? And we went to get some drinks. And my wife went to the bar to get the drinks. And here comes this guy. You know? Here comes this guy and gets behind her. And she didn't know what was going on. I got you. I'll protect you. So this guy came behind her and started like, you know, you're like, what? We're like, what? And I'm like, he was huge, supposedly. I didn't care. You know, I kicked him, bam, and the dude did a flip and hit him in the head, and I did a jiu-jitsu move. No, I just kicked him. I added a little bit of flavor. I kicked him. And he's like, hey, that's my woman, dude. Mess with my bride. I'm going to protect my bride. People doing life together. Loving Jesus together. Loving each other together. Going through the storms together is Jesus' favorite thing. He loves it. And he will fight for his bride. He gave his life for his bride. And it's his desire that we fight for his bride too. That we fight for each other. Here's the last verse. Matthew 16:18. I'm going to read it all out loud at the count of three. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Like you mean it. Like you're going to fight. Okay? 1, 2, 3.
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
One more time.
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
We need to stand up and fight. We need to be intentional about doing life together. We need to be intentional about our relationships. Let's be a family. Let's be the family of Jesus. Here's the next one. Challenge. Take a risk. It's worth fighting for. It's worth risking for. Be more available. Be intentional. Be courageous enough to be carried. Be open. Be honest. No, I'm not doing good today. No, I'm not going my marriage is not good. No, my situation is not. It's okay. In your program, you'll find the connection card. In the back where it says, I want to join a group. It starts with joining a group. You'll find a slip with all the groups available. We didn't put any names because then everybody wanted to come to my group, and I said, no. Saw a picture of me, and they're like, I want to go to that guy's group. We put the locations. There's some in English, and there's some in Spanish. Join a group. The storms will come, and you will need a great team. You will need a good team. Join a group. Join a group. So maybe on your connection card, you could write, this week I will join a group. If today you're beginning your new life with Jesus or restarting your name, please check the box. That way we could know what's happening in your life and we could be praying for you. Worship team, can you guys come back up? In your program, you'll also find an envelope. This is another way that we worship God. We worship God with our obedience. We worship God with our finances. This is how we're able to do amazing things here in this community. It's by us joining together and just worshiping God in whatever way He's asking us. So when you're done, you grab the envelope and the connection card. You're going to drop them off in the gray boxes by the doors. And we'll pick them up after the service. We're going to have prayer. There's going to be a person on my right, a person to my left, blue with blue, pink with pink. If you're a couple, you can go on either side. For those of you who like football, how many of you like football?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess just you, babe.
Woo!
We are having the Super Bowl here.
Yeah.
Why are we doing it? To fellowship, relationships. Relationships. That's the reason why we're doing it. There's going to be some burgers. There'll be some fellowship, be able to hang out. So every single one of you is invited. If you want to call your buddy and come down, invite them. Invite your neighbor. Invite whoever you want to invite. The OXXO attendant, the taquero, whatever. Hey, you want to watch the Super Bowl? There's going to be some amazing burgers. Let's fellowship. Let's be friends. Let's hang out. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your forgiveness, for all that you do for us. Help us, Lord God, to be intentional. Help us to be courageous enough to be carried. Help us to be those amazing friends that took this guy to Jesus. We love you, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Can you please stand up? We're going to have some amazing song.